Welcome to a new series of Booked, the program that peeps into the frosted glass of literature's bathroom window and goes, well, I never. Today we're guests of the Foster family at the Guildhall Arts Centre in Gloucester. And here's a poem to celebrate that. If literature's a frosted window, and art's a bathroom door, and science is a flushing toilet, and dance is a lino floor, and music's a plug-hole gurgle, one thing you can't ignore, if the universe is the smallest room, the airing cupboard's Radio 4. So, up the ladder, with the binoculars this week, we've got Miles Kington and Dilly Keane. And joining them on the top step of the ladder in a game of Dare and Double Dare are Mark Thomas and Roger McGough. So let's climb the scaffolding and play peekaboo into the first round, fictional sidekicks. In front of each panellist is a pack of cards. Each card has written upon it the name of a fictional sidekick, such as Anon's mate, Anon. They went round together, but nobody noticed. All our panellists have to do is describe what's on the card so the others guess it. You can only pass on one, and you've only got a minute, and I'm going to be really strict. So, Roger and Mark, off you go.
This is a lady used to swing from vine to vine with her lover in the jungles.
Tarzan?
Yeah.
Jane?
Jane's one, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Sorry, I've been to some funny clubs. Yeah, there's a poem about them. They went to sea in a boat, with three money wrapped up, honey.
The owl, the pussycat, the other pat, the owl. This one was Rose. This was a friend of a famous medical man who wrote about his journeys going round Scotland. Yes, and his mate was
Boswell.
Exactly,
a friend of Round Table, King Arthur.
Carth, the King Arthur Round Table.
He's got a rude name.
Is he?
Yeah, 15 seconds.
What's Spotty Face?
No, he's a knight.
Oh, sorry. He's a knight. Guinevere, Lancelot.
Yeah, that's
Lancelot. And Lancelot. This one was a Wooster. Wooster and...
Bertie Wooster and Jeeves.
Yes.
Oh, 5 seconds.
This is Around the World in 80 Days and the small bloke.
Phileas Fogg was the man. Tarantello.
And he sounded like a vegetable.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pass two.
Very good.
The audience did very well there. Give them a round of applause.
Thank you.
Right, Miles and Dilly, run the gauntlet.
Asterix, big sidekick.
Obelix.
Yes, very good.
Dr. Holmes.
Mr. Watson.
That's the one.
Millie Molly Mandy had a little friend. I didn't know this, but... So we'll pass on that.
I don't know.
Biggles, Air Ace, had a sidekick who was named after a spice.
Mace.
30 seconds.
Ginger, go on.
Right. This is another spice, and it's actually the same spice. It's from Just William.
Ginger.
Yes.
Nigel Molesworth had a great friend. Do you know what his name was?
Derbyshire. No, I don't.
He's 15 seconds.
It wasn't a county. It's called Peason. I don't know why. I don't know.
This is from the book about the whale, and he's the one with the tattoo.
Five seconds.
Oh no, God! Ahab, call me Ishmael.
And the other one.
Ahab.
Time.
Queequeg.
Queequeg.
Oh, that one.
Let's have a round of applause from Queequeg. Good. So, who was Millie Molly Mandy's mate then?
Susan, apparently.
Susan.
Yes, no. An all-female team.
Of course. Susan,
obvious, isn't it? And so, to conversation consequences, and to those magical conversations that occasionally happen in chance encounters, in this round, our panellists have imagined a scene in which two unlikely literary characters meet. What happens? Here, they reveal all. So, Mark, who bumped into whom for you?
Piglet, from Winnie the Pooh, meets the Greek chorus in an estate agent. And here, Roger is going to be Piglet, and all of us are going to be the chorus, and we'll just assemble over there.
And now the sun sets behind the unfathomable Gloucestershire hills, and our panel become a Greek chorus, and mysteriously, an estate agent becomes a Greek amphitheatre over there by the spacious flats to rent.
Cruel are the gales that fate sends to haunt us. Woe! Cry, woe! What can mere men do to shelter from the storm of havoc? How can mere mortal beings stand firm in fortune's blizzard, when even gods cannot control the palsied hand of chance? See now on the horizon, poor pink piglet. Look at him wander like a lost little penis with a snout.
Oh dear, oh golly, oh my, what am I to do?
Piglet!
Who, me? Who wants me?
Over here, you can't miss us. We're a group of 30 people in robes with enormous tragic masks, striking a macabre tableau, symbolising horror and torment.
Oh my, oh golly. Did you know I haven't got a home?
Yes.
I've got nowhere to live. A terrible flood flooded the 6-acre wood. An owl lost his house. And everyone needs a house. So it was decided that someone would help Owl find a house. And Eeyore gave Owl my house, not knowing it was mine.
Treacherous, vile donkey!
No. He didn't mean it.
Oh. Ignorant, stupid donkey. See how he treats you as if you were nothing but a walking pork scratching. They turn away in sorrow. Oops. We've read out the stage directions. Damn.
I just hope Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin can help me.
You have only one hope.
Really? You think there's hope? What should I do?
Kill Eeyore.
Kill Eeyore?
Pluck out his eyes and let his blood fill the furrows. Scatter his limbs to the wild dogs. Leave his carcass for the carrion crows. And then eat his evil dark heart.
But he's a stuffed toy.
All right then, steal his tail.
But this doesn't solve where I'm going to live, because Al will be living there.
You could always gazump him.
Might I be able to help you?
Who are you?
I'm an estate agent.
Run for your lives!
Thank you, Mark. Miles, who rubbed shoulders for you?
Well, two very unlikely people. Inspector Clouseau, from the character of the same name, and Blanche Dubois, from A Streetcar Named Desire, the southern lady who was somewhat lost. And I imagine them coming back from an evening out, they'd just been dancing together, and they're hovering at the door, wondering whether to go in or not. I'm afraid you did not enjoy the evening very much.
No. It was great fun. It reminded me of evenings in the old days when we would go to the balls. Have you ever been to a ball, Monsieur Clouseau?
Yes, I have. I've been to a very big ball. It was the Hollywood ball. I was taken by a friend to see the Hollywood Ball Orchestra play a program of French music.
No, not a ball, you silly thing, a ball. Did you enjoy the French music?
Well, I do not know. My trousers fell down as I entered the burl, and I had to go home for another purr.
Oh, and was the concert still going on when you got back?
I do not think so. I had to go home to Paris to change my trousers. not trousers, as you Americans say, my pants.
Pants? What does pants mean?
Pants means prizes.
Oh. Oh, you mean pants. Your pants fell down.
Talking of which, I'm very sorry about what happened tonight.
Meaning?
When I stepped on your dress.
Oh, yes. I think we can laugh about it now. It was an accident.
Well, it was terrible, but you have very nice legs.
Oh, it's very kind of you to say so. You are a true gentleman, Monsieur Clouseau. Not many people today are gentlemen, I'm afraid.
No, I have noticed. Many of them are criminals. They do nutty things. So I must arrest them for being nutty. Then I pop them in prison. Pop, pop, pop. Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to disarrange you like that.
Don't worry. I will look after it. Would you like to come in for a while, Mr. Clouseau, to keep a lady company? To look after her? To be her bodyguard?
Well,
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
You forget, Madame Dubois, that I can speak French.
Oh! Can you? I had no idea. In fact, I have no idea what I just said. What's that French? My. Oh, fancy that. I have no idea what it means. It's a phrase I learned from a parrot, which we used to have when I was very young.
Then it was a very naughty parrot. Is that parrot we hear now? I would pop it in parrot prison. If you're serious, I will gladly come in for a little drink.
Oh, I'm so glad.
But I must warn you one thing. When I'm with a lady, all alone, late at night, being romantic, strange things always happen.
Good heavens, what sort of things?
Oh, all sorts of things. I drop the olive from my cocktail, it goes down the lady's dress. I try to retrieve it without her noticing, but always the dress comes off. Then my trousers come off, then I fall over.
Good heavens, Monsieur Clouseau, this always happens?
Yes, I don't know why. I'm very sorry.
And tell me, what happens with you and your lady after that?
Always this man, he steps forward, he says, cut! Let's go for another take.
Good heavens, what does that mean?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm prepared to risk it if you are. Come in for a drink, Monsieur Clouseau.
Inspector Clouseau is here. Hold tight to your dress.
Hold tight to your trousers.
So let's move on to Vox Pops. In this round, we've loitered on several high streets with several tape recorders and picked up juicy bits of stuff and nonsense about certain texts. Our panellists have to guess the story our pickups are describing, but be warned, some of what you hear may be a leg pull. Miles and Dilly.
There are two plots to this.
A television series a few years ago. You're never quite sure where you are.
Little Shop of Horrors.
By a well-known author.
Born in Edgbaston, in Birmingham.
Who doesn't write under his real name.
Independence Day.
The disintegration of social order.
About a strange race of...
plastic daffodils. About relationships. Adults and younger people.
It used to make me hide behind the sofa.
Immersed in salt water. Total destruction.
The human race win out.
The end.
God, I know this. I can't remember the name. It was on TV and had plastic stuff. It had Bob Peck in it.
No, you're thinking of something else.
Oh, that was Outside Edge.
No, it's not that one.
Definitely not this.
You're thinking of Edge of Darkness.
Yes.
Edgbaston.
Edgbaston's a clue.
I know.
It's about cricket.
No.
Somebody born in Edgbaston, presumably left and worked under a false name, as one
as
does.
As you would,
it.
Yes. What about Roger Merck? Any ideas?
I'm just going to take a wild guess at the Midwich Cuckoos first.
Almost.
Day of the Triffids.
Day of the Triffids. Got it between us. All right, then, Roger and Matt, try this one.
Two lost men.
There's lots of coins being tossed.
It's a skit, and it seems to be about fate.
Where people are willing to do quite a lot for not very much.
And it's supposed to be funny.
The beginning of it is very funny.
The film version, I think, involved two actors who are normally seen as stand-up comedians, which was actually a mistake.
Sword fighting is something they get up to rather a lot.
And people having conversations that lead absolutely nowhere but sound fabulous.
So an unfunny film. A remake of the book.
Two lost men.
Two lost men meet up.
Sword
comics, big sword fight. Coins, tossing coins.
That's an important bit.
Is it a very important bit?
Fairly.
Right, tossing coins, very important.
And the two lost men, that's important.
Right, they're both lost.
Right.
Do they swap identities then? No.
No.
Right.
The audience said something and kind of was half right.
In Hamlet?
No.
Hamlet?
Rosencrantz
and Guildenstern.
Yeah,
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Rosencrantz and
Guildenstern. It's the audience that got that one.
Well,
let's give
it up. Yeah, yeah,
and now a chance for gigantically famous writers to loosen their shackles. This is the round known as Don't Give Up the Day Job, in which our panellists free famous writers from their individual styles and give them the chance to write something different. So, Dilly, who's having a go at what for you?
Well, this is the famous poetess, Pam Ayres, writing for the lyrics for the band Hole. Now, Hole... without the W, is the band made famous by Miss Courtney Love, who was the girlfriend of Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. And she has a sort of band that was fairly similar. Right. My best friend is my doggy. He's a Tozer from Japan. He's supposed to wear a muzzle, but I hide it when I can. I takes him down to Tesco's and I buys him jammy Dodgers. And then I lets him loose and he bites the shopper's Dodgers. They go ooh, ah, ooh, in excruciating pain. So I shouts, good on ya, Tozer, and he bites him once again. Yeah. Well, me and Tozer's living in a caravan in Cheltenham, because I despise his houses. Me and Tozer's never dwelt in them. The Rothers sometimes try to get my Tozer in a shackle, but the last policeman tried it on ain't got his wedding tackle. He went, ooh, ah, ooh, and he cried till kingdom come. But Tozer, he just ran around and bit him on the bum. Yeah. I likes the sight of blood, I do, and Tozer likes the guts. I says he's vegetarian, he loves pulses, yeah, and nuts. So many times I've seen a passing stranger beg for mercy, but all I does is give the order, Tozer, get his Percy! They go, ooh, ah, ooh, and then Tozer nips their nipples. You should see them when it's over, because they looks like raspberry ripples. Yeah. I got the breeder's number from a call box with those phone ads. And before we left for home, Tozer bit him in the ghoulies. I went, ooh, ah, ooh, as his massive fangs went home. Then he wagged his little tail. Oh, it really was a poem. Yeah. And we go, ooh, ah, ooh. And though life is really crappy, with my Tozer here beside me, I am well and truly happy. Yeah.
Sir Roger, whose chains have you untied?
Well, it's Hunter S. Thompson, who wrote that wonderful, remember the book, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, first. He began really Gonzo School of Journalism, didn't he? The wild and wacky drug-related journalist. And this is him writing a public school prospectus. The Gonzo Academy of Heinous Chemicals is an independent boarding school standing in its own grounds and guarded by ex-SAS men working on their second novels. The main aim of the school is to create a caring environment for the sons and daughters of drug barons, city smackheads and rock and roll stars, and to introduce pupils at an early age to the varied tapestry of the nation's drug culture. The school is run on the house system, and there are four houses: Burroughs, Leary, Huxley and Gallagher. Discipline is firm but tempered with understanding, and problems can invariably be dealt with by good smack. Academic achievement is laudable. I'm sorry, academic achievement is laughable. But the school boasts a fine sporting tradition thanks to our dedicated staff and their knowledge of steroids. A typical school day at the Gonzo Academy might read thus. 7:30 a.m, first bell, followed by breakfast, a bowl of uppers, tequila sunrises. 11:30, second bell, followed by breakfast for those who prefer a lie-in. Midday, the choice of either a hot meal or amyl nitrate. 2 to 4 p.m, needlework classes. i.e. hygiene and disposal of. And for the juniors, spliff rolling. 4 to 6 p.m, sport, or for those excused, group sex. 6:30, high tea. Singapore slings with mescaline on the side and beer chasers. 7 to 8 in the evening, either the opportunity of doing prep in the library or the chance of hallucinating in the extensive grounds. 9:30, supper, a bowl of downers, tequila sunsets. 10 p.m, lights out.
And now, we enter the tunnel that is the black bag. In front of each panellist is a bag. Inside these bags are three objects. Our panellists slide their hands deftly into the bag and, using their fingers as roaming antennae, describe the objects they find therein. Finally, they guess what book these three objects signify. Roger.
Right.
Unfasten your string.
I will. What? Mmm. Smells funny, actually. I don't have my nose in there, but it smells like...
It smells like...
Something like... chips. It smells like chips. A school cap to keep the chips in, and some chalks. So we have the schoolboy. Is it William and just William? And there's chalks and Brighton. What?
It's chips. Like chips. Mr. Chips.
Mr. Chips. Goodbye, Mr. Chips.
Yes. Dylan, hand in the bag.
Right. It's a pair of spectacles, and one of them has got sellotape or something like that on one of the lenses. And then there's... Oh! Oh, it's got a lovely feel, and I can put my finger in and wiggle it. It's a shell. Oh, I can't get my finger out now. There's a third thing in here, I'm assured, but I can't find it. But I've guessed it anyway, I think. It's Lord of the Flies.
And what gave you that...
Oh, no, here's the third thing. It's a zip. Oh, that's completely... Oh, the flies, yes.
Tell us what it is. What is it then?
Well, Piggy had glasses and they broke. And they used to use the conch shell to call meetings. And...
Lovely. Right, Mark.
I'm in, mate. There's a weird thing here. It's a piece of railway track from a child's train set, or an adult's, I don't know, I can't specify, just from touch. And there's a piece of a stone, quite a chalky stone, but it's messy, and a newspaper. So there's a newspaper, a piece of railway track, and a stone. And I'm hedging my bets, I'm going for the railway children.
Yes. So what gave you that?
Well, it's the railway track was a hint. Yeah. And the newspaper, because the bloke who gets Jenny Agutter's dad in the book, I've forgotten him, it's Bernard Cribbins, and he reads the case in the newspaper and then acts upon it. The stone, is it a piece of coal?
I see it stealing the coal from the coal yard.
Which obviously would have been, it was a steam engine.
Oh, steam
coal.
Engine.
You know, they used to put it on.
So bad.
And finally, Miles.
Everyone's got it so far. This is terrible. It's a crucifix. Rough wooden crucifix. And a... God, what is this? It's a bit of... It's a stick with something on the end. Like... It's like a rubber lollipop. It's a cross. And a book. Bible. Perhaps.
It's a cross, a rubber lollipop.
A rubber lollipop.
Well, I feel that lollipop again. Go on.
It's a frilly. It's a frilly rubber lollipop. It could be seaweed. Could be seaweed.
So it's a
poppy.
No,
it's a flower head. It's a flower head. That's what it is. It's a flower head. It feels like a poppy.
What kind of? No, it's not a poppy, but similar colour, perhaps.
Rose. Crucifix. And they've got it.
Name the name of the rose.
Name of the rose.
Yeah. Name of the rose.
By any.
Umberto.
I must read it. I'm very
impressed. It's good. So now we come to the part of the programme that's a symphony of sounds. Yes, it's book titles as sound effects. Listen to these sounds, panel, and guess which books they represent. Miles and Dilly.
Stripping music, or...
And then there's a sort of...
It started out very solemn, then went very...
Yes, it wasn't a... It was more of a... Thwack!
Head of a... Chopped off?
Yes.
Who takes their clothes off at the end of a book?
I sometimes do.
Only if it's a good read.
Yes, well... Hot evening, you know, you read a book.
Sidney Carton got his head chopped off.
He did, but it wasn't him. What about the start? The music was Handel's Messiah, Behold the Lamb of God. Of course.
Oh, gosh. Of course.
Any idea of the other side?
Is it?
By an Irish author.
By an Irish author.
Audience, anyone?
Ah, hang on. Is it...
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde. Salome.
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 By Oscar Wilde. They got it between them. Roger and Mark, this one's a bit tricky. Try this one.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate.
It's not been an issue of left or right or socialist or social democrat. It's been put into these easy words of traditionalist and moderniser. Why? Because the press have been motivating this debate, and it's been a debate about soundbites.
Muller comes up, and it's a goal for Germany. The dream dissolves for England. They dissolve inside the centre circle, and England are out.
History of English speaking. Peoples.
Okay, so we had Shakespeare, one of the Shakespeare sonnets being read with a bit of static.
I thought it was frying chips in the background.
John Prescott.
So we've got an old poet, a class traitor.
Hey! Steady.
And then Germany beating England.
The actual answer's only three words.
The answer's only three words.
The answer's three words?
Yes.
Right, old.
No.
No.
One of them is the name of a political party.
Labour.
Labour, yeah. Right.
In Labour, loves Labour lost.
Loves Labour's lost.
Loves Labour's lost.
Loves Labour's lost. Let's finish off with a flick to the bargain basement page of the local rag. I'd like our panel to imagine what cross-gartered stockings, outsized corsets, or subsiding manners famous literary characters may want or have for sale. Miles, what have you got?
Dr. Foster, season ticket to Gloucester. No longer wanted, thank you.
I've got the witches from Macbeth. Hubble, double, toil and trouble. Three witches in financial trouble. Getting rid of equipment, the black cat, our pet, and a cauldron that can double as a fondue set. And Billy Casper from Kez. He's got a little ad in going... Nearing Christmas, anyone fancy an alternative to turkey?
Dilly?
I've got Hero and Leander. His and hers swimsuits, only used once.
Two ones here, ones. Take a flyer on this gift to candle makers and duvet stuffers. Four barrels of wax and feathers, only used once. Icarus. Large tuck box for sale containing stale donuts, sticky buns and fizzy pop. Cash needed for quick sale to pay for liposuction and triple heart bypass. W. Bunter.
Any more?
I've got one more, which is King Arthur. Buy now the Excalibur Rambo hunting knife, death-bringing, blood-yielding weapon. Buy before banned.
Well, it's time to finish now, so I'll finish with my usual heartbreaking poem. Leaving the bathroom of literature, you must always be really sure to wash your hands and dry them well, because long-dead writing has a particular smell. And it just remains for me to thank Mark Thomas, Roger McGough, Miles Kington and Dilly Keane. Booked is researched by Kate Withers, devised and produced in Bristol by Mark Yobst, and presented by me, Ian McMillan. Goodbye. Thank you.